the Lord's house today. Amen. I'm excited that you're here. We are on the final days before the election is going on. We got some good things we're going to share with you today in regards to that. And I just trust that God is working in your life and you have had a good week. And it is the first day of November. We're excited about that. Amen. It just seems like Thanksgiving is just a few days away, but it is actually several weeks away. Turkey Day is upon us. We're looking forward to that. And I welcome you out this morning. Before we get started, let me thank you for praying for Kathy Camper. She was in the ICU, had an infection in the blood that traveled up to the brain. She is coherent once again. She is able to talk once again. And they're looking to get her relocated, hopefully sometime this week, into a care facility that can care for her. There are multiple surgeries that she needs to have done, but she cannot have done right now because she is physically too weak. So be in prayer for her as they go through all those developments, and also Brother James Camper, her husband as well, as we get those things under wraps. Amen. Well, we are going to sing our first song, and it's going to be our hymn of the month, Spirit of the Living God. And so that is behind me. It's a small chorus. I'm sure many of you know it. Once we get done with the election things next week, we're going to be moving on to talking about investing in that which matters and that which cannot be taken away. It's going to be investing in the Spirit of God. Amen. So we do have that coming up in the weeks ahead. Amen. But Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Fall fresh on me, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. So let's sing that this morning as Gregory gives us an intro. Nice hymn of praise. Just thinking about what you want God to do for and through and in you this morning. Amen. All right, let's sing that together. Here we go. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me.
Spirit of
marvelous and miraculous way. Father, we are so thankful to be able to assemble in your house today. Thank you for these that have joined to worship and to praise you and get instructions for a busy week. And thank you for those that are joining and tuning in online but are not able to be with us here in person, but able to tune in online. We ask your blessings upon them. But thank you for the privilege that we have to hear the Word of God, be it in person, be it online, that the Word of God will not be hindered in any way. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for this privilege. Lord, as we have sang in the song this morning of worship, we're asking you, by your Spirit's power, to fall fresh on us again for a new day, a new anointing, a new need. Melt us, Lord, mold us, then, Lord, fill us. And use us. The only way that we can be successful to you in the will of God is by those things. And then fall fresh on us and send us to do your bidding today. We ask that you would have your hand upon our ears, our hearts, our eyes, our attention. Lord, whether it's here in person or whether it's at home online, help us not to be distracted by the cares and the things of this world, but to be ready to hear what thus saith the Word of God. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Minister in us and through us and to us. We may be a blessing to others and save that one soul that may be lost today. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. We do have several birthdays this week alone. Mrs. Hall's got a birthday tomorrow on the 2nd. Mrs. White's got one on Thursday on the 5th. Amen. So we're honored to have them here. But Brianna actually has one today. Amen. And she was one of our deacon's wives, and we appreciate having her and Gabriel and Nora here today. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Brianna today. Amen. And I just wish her a great day. Ready to give us a chord? All right, pick one of those and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. All right, here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Congratulations, amen. And we're excited about having Brianna here with us. Is how much longer are you here with us? To the end of the month, you'll be here through Turkey Day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have you all here with us for your birthday today. And don't forget to wish Mrs. Hall a happy birthday and Mrs. White as well. Mrs. Hall does a lot of the texting for us and is getting those things out and keeping you all abreast of what's going on. She's still a secretary and homeschooling two children and the biggest job taking care of Brother Hall. Amen. And so we appreciate everything she does. Mrs. White on Thursday, she is our assistant pastor's wife, and she does multiple things for us. We praise God for both of them. And so you wish them a happy birthday this week. Amen. A couple other things going on here as well. Bev is traveling with Lily to California back tomorrow. And so she's going to do the same trip that she did, about a week ago, 10 days ago?
Yeah. Fly to Salt Lake City, then to San Jose, get a car, drive an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, drop her off, drive back, stay the night at my cousin's, and then back to San Jose, drop the car, get back in the plane, go to Salt Lake City, and then to Tucson. I'll come back election day night.
My
Lord
soul.
Willing.
You may see yourself coming and going, amen.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, Ben, how you
yeah.
doing? Y'all pray for Ben that she did travel starting tomorrow with Lily, and trust God to get her there safely and back. We also have a guest today, Weaver?
Yes.
Dewey Weaver visiting with us, so we praise God for him today. There are some voter election guys out there. On one side, you've got Donald Trump, Joe Biden. The other side, Mark Kelly and Martha McSally for the Arizona Senate, and that is from the Faith and Freedom Coalition, just giving you some issues and items that they stand for. I know many have passed their ballot already in the early elections. Some will still do that this week, but as you do, consider some of the points that we considered over the last several weeks, and we'll finish talking about the pre-election things this morning. Amen. Well, we've got another song we're going to sing. There's Sunshine in My Soul. Yes, Ms. Austin.
Pastor, can you make an exception today and sing happy birthday to Mrs. White?
Sing happy birthday to Mrs. White and Mrs. Hall. Yes, we can sing happy birthday to them as well. So we're going to make an exception. It's not their birthday. Amen, amen. Not their birthday today, but it is this week, so we're going to sing happy birthday to Ms. Hall and Mrs. White. They got birthdays both on Monday and Thursday. G2, give us that chord again. And we're going to make a joyful noise again. If it's not joyful, pretend that it is. Amen. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Weather on Monday and Tuesday, amen. The kids said, can we turn on the heat? I thought, we are not turning on the heat, amen. Bundle up, put on a sweatshirt, amen. They normally go out bike riding for their exercise first thing in the morning, and so you talk about some Eskimos bundled up to ride, amen. G2 was the only one trying to be cool, and then he got cold, amen. But praise God for the opportunity to get some different weather. But I'm glad that the sunshine is back. There's sunshine in my soul. This is the chorus. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine. When the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. So either way, whether it's cold or not, there always can be sunshine through the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and souls. Amen. G, give us an intro. All right, sunshine in my soul. Listen to the chorus here. Here we go. Oh.
Oh,
if you're not really, you know, listening to Gloria Gaynor, you probably wouldn't know the song, amen. But it's a very, very great song, tremendous song, and a good chorus, amen. So let's sing that once again, G2. Give us just another chord on that one before we get in there. All right, here we go.
God for the ability to come see a man named Jesus Christ to help us and what we need help in. And I just want to give my thanks to all those that have done your dead level best to keep yourself well and safe and keeping your hand washing and your masks and staying sanitized. And I know worldwide the numbers are increasing with infections going right back up again. I think school starting has something to do with that, but it is one of those things. But just praise God that I don't think we're going to get around this anytime soon. It's going to be probably the new normal, wearing masks quite frequently. And thank you for doing what you do to keep yourself healthy. Whether you're here in person or online, continue doing what it takes to keep yourself healthy. If you do feel ill or sick or feverish or anything of that nature, do please don't hesitate to stay home. Last thing we want to do is get you to come and infect someone else or to get sicker than what you really are. So let's keep the spread down to a bare minimum if we can help it. Amen. Well, praise God. Psalm 33 and verse 12. I'm sure you're like me. You're probably about tired of seeing all the advertisements on television about the candidates and them throwing dirt on each other and all the things that they're talking about. What this candidate's not going to do, what this candidate's not going to do. Very rarely do you hear someone say what they will do or what they have done already. Amen. My encouragement to you is always to look beyond the media and to see exactly what the candidate has done previously in his past time. Amen? Because they're probably going to continue doing what they've already done just to support their party. Amen. Psalm 33 and verse number 12. Please stand with me as we come to this last message before the elections. You're able to stand. Psalm 33, verse 12. We read one verse. Talk about some things here. Share a few items with you. Finish up the principles. And then we'll be done. So you listen fast. I'm going to try and talk fast, and we'll get done fast. And elections will be here before you know it. Amen. Psalm 33 and verse number 12. And let's read that together. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Here we go. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Let's read that one more time. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And may I say that Israel does not have the market on that? If a nation is going to be a God-fearing nation, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in Jehovah God, that nation is going to be that nation that God blessed, and that nation will be those people whom he has chosen for his inheritance. So Israel doesn't have the market on that. Our nation was founded on the principles and the priorities of God, and so our nation was blessed as a result. Now, we're going south away from that, amen, but we were a nation that's done this. And by the way, even if our nation doesn't want to acknowledge it, I like the second part, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. I'm one of his people, amen? And I trust you are as well, and God will bless you if he can't bless the nation, amen? Father, bless these next moments that we have together as we give some concluding remarks and some thoughts and share some principles as to what we should look for in elected officials. God, may your hand of mercy be upon us and truly show us what we need to do as a nation, as a people, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Every month, CLA, the Christian Law Association, always sends out a prayer list, and only they speak about certain things that are of importance. Of course, yesterday or a couple days ago, they sent out the November listing and said, keys to remember about election results. They gave us 4 points here, and I'm going to share those points here real quick before we get into the message. It says this. Should you be concerned about election results? Although it can certainly be easy to be worried and fearful as our religious freedoms continue to be tested, we as Christians should not be scared, anxious, or feeling hopeless over who is in the White House for the next 4 years. Our Christian duties continue regardless of who holds this position. Somebody say amen. We don't stop being Christians because somebody gets in the White House that we don't agree with. Amen? Here are some key reminders for every believer to keep in mind. Number one, God is still on the throne. Somebody say amen. God is still on the throne.
Ultimately, the party currently controlling the White House doesn't change what really matters, that God is in control. It reiterates, God is in control. Nothing happens in the world, let alone politics in the United States, without God's authorization. Paul makes this abundantly clear in Romans 13:1, where he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Notice this, the powers that be are ordained of God. That's just not in America. That's not just in Tucson. That's in China. That's in Russia. That's in any place around this world. Anyone in an elected official's position, God has allowed to be there. Amen. He goes on to say this. God didn't just allow each appointed president, according to Romans, he ordained each and every one of them. Sometimes God's decisions won't make sense to us. I guarantee you, whoever gets to the White House is not going to make sense to somebody. Whoever gets appointed to the Senate is not going to make sense to somebody. Whoever gets appointed to an office is not going to make sense to somebody. But that doesn't change the truth that the Bible has proclaimed. So when you begin to feel stressed, remind yourself, first, God is still in control. Number two, the United States, while beautiful and the greatest country on earth, is not our final home. Amen. Amen. We are proud patriots of the United States of America and treasure the religious freedom that has been such an integral part of our nation. However, it is vital that we Christians do not forget we are citizens of heaven. Amen. Philippians 3:20 explains we are citizens, where our citizenship truly lies. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the grand scheme of things, our time on earth is not just brief, it is infinitesimal compared to the eternity awaiting us. Think about it. If you live to be 80 years old, or 90 years old, or 70 years old, or 100 years old, what is that in retrospect to eternity? It's a speck of dust. It really is. He goes on to say there's only one ruler there, and no votes are needed in heaven. Amen. Last time somebody voted in heaven, last time I checked, somebody got shoved out. Amen? Did the devil say, I will? God said, no, you won't. Get out and, vote and take yours with you. Amen? And no votes in heaven. It's a theocracy. God rules. Amen? He goes on to say, remember the old song, next time election results begin to dwell in your mind, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Amen? Number three. Fretting about anything is wrong. Consider what you are doing when you let the stress of an election affect your spirit. Worrying is a sin. Believers are to continually take our thoughts and emotions into captivity and practice temperance or self-control. The more someone allows himself to express frustrations and anger over election results, the more he fails to focus on the issues that eternally matter. By the way, you just get talking about politics. Talk about Trump, talk about Biden, talk about Pence, talk about Harris, talk about Mark Kelly, talk about Mark Sponsor-Shallon. Folks start getting heated over that. I mean, they start getting hot around the collar. You say people are going to hell, they don't care about that. When you start talking about that, you're just wrong. I mean, they get huffy and puffy. I mean, remind me of Don Knotts off Andy Griffith. I mean, I pop out of the shock and say that and just get unruly.
He goes on to say in this same thought about fretting about anything is wrong, that Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Focusing too much on politics can lead to obsession and worry. Amen. Remember, by the way, if you look at the latest polls, this candidate is winning. Look at this poll, this candidate is winning. Look at that poll, this candidate is winning. Look at this poll, that candidate. And folks are going to be biased and report to you what they want you to know. If you didn't know that by now, let me break the news. The media is going to report to you what they want you to know. If they don't want you to know, they're not going to report it to you. I'm just saying. Think about it. When's the last time you gave all the information? Do you think the media is any different? Amen? Focusing too much on politics can lead to obsession and worry. Remember to take time each day. Notice this. Remember to take time each day to clear your head from politics, news, and social media. Read it again. Remember to take time each day to clear your head from politics, news, and social media, and focus on what really matters, the scriptures. Why? It's eternal. It'll be here when the elections are gone. And then number four, it says, place all your hope in Christ. The hope of every believer is not on anything in this world. Amen. By the way, nothing in this world can save you. Amen. The Bible says that our hope is in God, and He alone should be where our reliance resides. The United States holds elections often and on each occasion. God is fully in control. Our hope resides in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen, Brother Duffy? Amen. We can cast all our cares on the Creator of the universe. So they summarize it. So what is the solution? It is, of course, important who we as Christians vote for, and it is vital that every Christian let their voice be heard in the election. However, regardless of the results, the real end result is the same. Jesus Christ is still our Savior, and heaven still is our home that awaits us. Amen. In the meantime, remember Psalm 43:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. That just thrilled my soul. Four quick things. God is still on the throne. The United States is beautiful. The greatest country on earth is not our final home. Fretting about anything is wrong. And lastly, place all your hope in Christ. And I just got lit up like a Christmas tree when I read that. I thought, praise God. That's good news. Amen. Well, let's get back to what we're talking about, election and the voting instructions for 2020, and getting to the principles. I was asked this question this week. Donald Trump lies too much, and so he should not be our president. And then the individual went on to say some other things, questioning Donald Trump's character and his mannerisms and the way he conducts himself as the president of the United States. And they asked him, why would I vote for such a person as that? How would you answer that? Now, don't tell me, but just think about how would you answer that? I answered biblically. I didn't know Donald Trump was in the Bible. Yes, he had to sound the last Trump. No, I was joking, amen. the last Trump, amen. No, I'm just joking with you, man. I replied in this way. I said, superpowers of the past did not go down because of their lies. Egypt did not go down because of lies. Babylon did not go down because of their lies. Israel did not go down because of their lies. Neither did they go down for their cheating, their finances, their economic, their lack of jobs, or their lack of health care. All those are bad things that affect people, but that's not what superpowers went down for. Greece didn't go down for that. Neither did Rome go down for that. They went down due to their lack of morality, their adultery, their fornications, their idolatry, and their acceptance of the lesbianism, gay, bisexual, homosexual, transgender lifestyles. That's why they all went down. Amen. And then I went over to Luke chapter 17, and let me show you something here. Very, very strong word that Jesus gives in Luke 17, talking about the last days. Many of you know what the last days will bring and what the last days are about. But notice Luke chapter 17, and come down with me to verse number 26, because they're asking Jesus, when is the kingdom of God going to appear? When are going to be the last days? And when is all the things that you're talking about going to come to a head? I notice verse 26. And as it was in the days of who? Noah. That's Noah. Remember what characterized the days of Noah? The thoughts of man were only evil continually. That was the claim to fame. And God said, I am sorry that I created man. I'm going to destroy them because every thought is only evil continually. That was the time. Now, this passage, he's not so much talking about the times and what's going on in the time, but the suddenness of his return and what's going on when he returns. Rosemary says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of Son of Man. What's going to happen, Lord? 27. They did what? Eat. What else did they do? Drank. What else did they do? They married wives. What else did they do? They were given in marriage until when? Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What's the point here? The point is that they lived their lives in such a way that nothing bothered them. It was of no concern that men were only evil continually. In other words, they were anesthetized to sin. They were dull to sin. It was okay, so okay that we're going to eat, we're going to drink, we're going to get married. We're going to do all things we only do because we're used to sin. Y'all following me? Notice what he says afterwards. Verse 28. Likewise, also as it was in the days of who? Lot. What is Lot known for? Sodom, Gomorrah, and the towns around them. In the days of Lot, they did what? Drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. What was going on here? They were anesthetized to sin. The sin of homosexuality, of lesbianism, of all the lifestyle that God called vile mattered not to them. They went on with life as it was normal. And so Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back, this is how it's going to be. Just like it was in the days of Lot. Just like it was in the days of Noah. Their thoughts were evil continually. They were accepting of lesbianism and gays and all this other stuff. And it wasn't until I came to destroy them all that they said, I think something's happening. Verse 30 to verse. The same day that Lot, verse 29. Same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30, even thus shall it be when? In the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What am I saying? The morality of a nation, of a town, of a city is going to depict what happens. I remember it being told about New Orleans when they had all the destructions going on there because it was such a sinful place. And that may be true. I don't know if what happened to them was because of that. But I do know there was a lot of sin down there and witchcraft and voodoo and things that should not happen. But that's everywhere. That's everywhere. But what Jesus said is, it's going to be the... Why is this important? Folks, if you have not read the news lately, the Pope now has thrown in his bid with the gay lifestyle. And the Pope has now said, it's okay. So now not only do I have a superpower called America that says it's okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman, and the average Catholic who reveres the Pope would not do it even though America said it's okay, but now the Pope said it's okay. And so now when I wouldn't do it because America said it, the Pope said it's okay. And if he's the vicar of Christ or he's the spokesman for Christ, if he's the one, then it must be okay. And you do the math. America said it's okay. Pope said it's okay. And if we're a superpower, everybody else is going to mimic that all around the world. And what day will it be? Just like Lot and just like Noah. I'm just saying the morality of a nation is key and is paramount. And we make votes for elected officials. If we're not careful, we'll get so anesthetized to the sin lifestyle that people are doing, they will say, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, let them do it, it's okay. It's not okay. And we should not vote for people like that. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying they're bad taxpayers. I'm not saying they're bad legislators. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the lifestyle is abominable. The people that got destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was abominable that they were doing those things. God still loves them. God wiped out the entire world except for Noah and his family because of what they were doing. What am I saying? If we're not careful, we're going to elect people to our offices. We're already, the Pope said it's okay. We're already, America said it's okay. And we elect these type of people to the offices. Now, I'm not saying they're bad people, but their practices will be perpetuated by others that they are sympathetic to. Y'all with me?
Amen.
So that is why the very first five principles that I gave you are all important, because they're all moral principles. And our nation is going to come up. Now, praise God, God's on the throne. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad he is. Amen. I'm glad God's on the throne. I'm glad he knows the answer to me. I'm glad the rapture's going to happen. Amen. But I'm still afraid for my children that have to grow up in the next several years in this world that's been inundated and indoctrinated that it's okay to be immoral, and it's not okay. Never been okay. What the president said, I don't care what the president said. What did God say? What did the Pope say? I don't care what the Pope said. What did God say? It's not about what the Pope said, what the president says, about what God says. And that should matter to Christian people. Amen. So with that said, let me very quickly here rehearse what we talked about in review of these principles that we should use in our voting. Amen. Y'all with me? Did I lose anybody yet? I'm sure somebody online probably turned me off already. Amen. But you know what? Do I become the enemy because I take the truth? You know, if you do the math and you know your Bible, you know that Jesus said this is a future time. This is going to happen. But he said, let me give you a past time to liken it to. It was like Noah. There were wicked eat all over. We were anesthetized. We hear shooting on TV now. We're like, another shooting. Molestation? Oh, yeah. Another rape? Oh, yeah. Another deaf teenager? Oh, yeah. Another person gets shot? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It doesn't even bother us now. We're getting in this. What? The days of Noah. Not lesbianism and gays and homosexualism and all this. And now we're like, oh, yeah, another one. Oh, yeah, no, it's legal now. The Pope. Oh, yeah, okay. No, it's not okay. But that's where we're going. By the way, when the Antichrist jumps on the scene, he is called the man of sin, or the man of lawlessness, or the man of anything goes. And by the way, is anything going right now? Yeah, it is. It is. Anything goes, and so he's going to jump right in and take control of a world that doesn't want God. Are we there? If the Pope has already chimed in, think about it. We have Catholics around the globe, in every place. And if the Pope said it's okay, guess what? Globally, we're going down faster than you can shake a stick, folks. I'm just saying that you and I have a voice, and you and I have a choice, and we should never accept it as right when God said it's wrong. I don't care who says it's right. I said this here, five reasons why we should think ahead biblically about Trump and Biden. And I said this, it could be that Trump or Biden may be used to usher in the fall of the U.S. as a superpower. Are we superpower or not? Yes, we are. Are we going down fast? Yes, we are. And why are we going down? Our morals. Morale's at an all-time high now because everybody can do what they want to do. It's at an all-time high. And I say this, America is not listening to biblical prophecy as a key nation or superpower, but currently is a key nation and superpower. Number two, all of the superpower nations that have gone down before have done so because of their low or lax moral standards, first, then other reasons, second. And I listed the countries. And number three, biblically, China is mentioned as a threat to Israel, and the U.S. may be subservient to China because of our financial debt to them, and we may not be able to help them. And I said this, number four, biblically, the Antichrist will come to power and convince nations in a time of lawlessness, pride, people's rights, and international crisis, give him their power, and they will do so willingly for stability. What are people crying about? I want more jobs. I want higher wages. I want this. Nobody said I want morality. I want more. I want health care. I want this. I want my taxes bill. I want money. Give me. We're in a handout society. Last time I checked, we're not a socialist society. Last time I checked, our founding father said it's good for a man to work. Man don't work, don't eat. But everybody wants a handout. Give me a tax break. Give me this and give me this. Why don't you go out and get a job? Now that's not popular preaching. But everybody will sit on there do nothing, give me a handout. I'm just saying. Number five, biblically, according to Revelation 3, we're in the age of people's rights called laity and church.
He's right now with Trump, and Biden could usher in more pride, more lawlessness, more lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender legislation and people rights, legislation based upon what they allow. Then I began to list these principles down that we should think about when we are voting. The gender leadership principle is the first one that I said. In America, a woman can run for president, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I ask this question biblically, can that be supported? Can that be supported biblically? So gender leadership principle is number one. Number two, I said this, the religious principle. Who best supports Christian values and or a godly heritage? I didn't ask you who was more spiritual, but who, with their authority and power, would back this book and the things that go along with this book, i.e. gay relationships, i.e. abortion or killing of infants. Who best will support this book and its religious beliefs by their legislation? How do they stand when it comes to those issues even now? And then number three, I gave you this, the moral principle. Do they regard or have a regard for life? Abortion is killing. A woman's right to choose is a fancified name of legalizing abortion and making you pay for it against your will. If that's their choice, then let them pay for their choice. I don't ask you to pay for my choices. So why should I pay for someone else's choice? I'm just saying. Then I said number four. The next principle that we should consider when looking at a candidate is the marital principle. Do they value the biblical view of marriage, one man and one woman, as God's only way of marriage, or do they have alternate themes on that plan? By the way, there is no alternate plan on that theme. It's just an immoral plan. It's an abominable plan, because two men cannot procreate, nor can two women procreate. They cannot have a relationship. And I made this statement way back when. Even in a homosexual relationship between a man and a man, somebody plays the wife and somebody plays the husband. With two women in a relationship, somebody plays the man and somebody plays the woman. Someone's the head and someone's the tail. Someone's the leader and someone's the follower. And you cannot get away from God's plan. I don't care if you put in a homosexual relationship, it still doesn't work. I'm just saying. People look at it and they're like, well, yeah, you walked out. She's got her hair cut off right here. Walking all macho, the other's kind of. You can tell who's who. There is no beans about it. Number five, I'm going to round these off real quick. Number five, security principle. The first four were all moral principles. All moral. What is that? Marital principle, moral. The moral principle on killing. Moral principle, religious, and leadership. Now, number five, security principle. Who will best protect our national and international borders, and how will immigration be improved? Folks, we have a mess on our hands. We just seized the biggest amount of drugs recently in history. In history. Imagine if those drugs had gotten across our border. Thank you, Brother Hall. I appreciate that. Imagine if those drugs would have gotten across our borders into America. I think it actually did get in. We got caught once they got in there to get kept at the border.
They were here, but
they were here without the border. Amen. Just imagine the biggest bust in history, folks, of drugs. Imagine if those drugs would have gotten in. By the way, you have on your ballot the marijuana issue. The layman wanted approved so they can go to work stoned legally. The higher ups wanted approved so they can tax it and get the money. You know how much of it you're going to see? Zero. But you'll have your employees in there, hey, what's going on? What's that? Nothing, man. It's legal for me to smoke my marijuana. You can't say anything to me. The same way they can say it's legal for me to have my husband and I got a husband. It's legal for me to have my wife and I am a lady. And the same way they'll come and say, it's legal for me to be this way. I'm just saying. It's on your Bible. It's on your ballot. The security principle number six, the terrorist principle. Who will crack down on terrorist groups swiftly and decisively at home and abroad? The terrorist principle. Now, these are not near as important as the first four. Because I've already showed you biblically that every nation goes down because of their morality first. Amen. Are these important? Yes, they're important.
But the nation's not going to go down because of these things quicker than they will morality. Security principle number 5, terrorist principle number 6, number 7, the military principle. How will our security defenses be affected worldwide? Many well-meaning politicians on both sides have weakened our international defenses by closing bases overseas and minimizing our presence globally, not to mention not securing our borders locally. They have done everything in their power to cut the borders, cut the funding from the border. I remember that one time at the end of the year when you guys don't get paid because nobody wants to sign the bill. The military closed down bases overseas, left and right. When Pastor White and I were over there, bases closing left and right. Spangdahl was closed down until Bitburg was closed. Bitburg is closed. I mean, all over the place, it's closing. I mean, in Belgium, Shepherd's was closed down. Other places, Florence closed down. But we don't need all those guys over there. Now we gotta hire people off to come on the base. What does that mean? You fired them all, but now you got to hire somebody else. I'm not a mathematician. That's just not smart to me financially. It's just not smart. But anyway, that's going on. The military principle. But then number 8, the Second Amendment principle. How will our right to bear arms be affected by enforcing gun laws? Who will keep guns away from the unfit and criminals and leave them with the fit and the law-abiding? By the way, if you start trying to regulate guns and take it out of the hands of the people that need them most, the ones that need them least are going to get them anyway. Is that not what happened with prohibition? Amen? They say, well, we're not going to have any alcohol around here. The folks that wanted the alcohol knew where to find the bootleggers and the Al Capones and the drug dealers. They know it. People that want drugs know where to find drugs. You and I wouldn't have a clue where they're at. But if I want it, I'm going to go find it. And so to take the guns out of people that are fit and place it to the people that are unfit who can get them, something wrong with that equation. Our Second Amendment rights, who will keep guns away from the unfit and criminals and leave them with the fit and the law-abiding. Number 9, economic principle. Notice that's way down at number 9. How will the economy be affected, and who will take us deeper into debt? And who will begin to take us out of debt if possible, and how would it be with higher taxes for you and I? Amen. The economic principle, that's number 9. Then number 10, who will improve health care, Medicare, Obamacare, and Social Security and make it better and not worse? Amen. Will there be any Social Security left when you and I go call for it? Something not. Amen. But it's a tragedy if you spend your whole life working and putting into Social Security expecting to get something out and there's nothing to get out. That's like putting your money in the bank. You go to the bank and make a withdrawal and say you got none. Amen. Number 11, this is my pet peeve. Number 11, media and internet principle. Who will regulate the internet usage from filth and fraud? Right now, everybody's afraid to touch it. Now, largely, this is a primal principle. I understand that. But there are so many fraudulent companies out there trying to prey on innocent people and unsuspecting people, you would be surprised. We were trying to get the boys a Nintendo over the summer and got frauded twice using PayPal. Who's supposed to make sure that stuff is safe? Twice. I went back just to kind of see what was going on over to the one side. And it said when it popped up, suspected fraud. You think? You think? And the tragedy about it, they left a tracking number that said it started at this place and went to this place and went to this place and went to this place and said, we delivered the package. I said, where'd you deliver it to? And guess what it said in the notes? We delivered it to Vail, Arizona. That's the address, Vail, Arizona. I said, yeah, got to be. My kids were so heartbroken. We went back on that thing. I said, look, somebody better do something about this. Somebody better do something about it real quick. Oh, we'll refund your money. I think so. They delivered it to me. I had a tracking number with it and a whole 9 yards. And I said, well, it said it should be here. Went and looked out the door. Nothing. Oh, maybe it's delayed. Look out. Surely it's COVID, it'll be here a week later. Nothing. I researched. They said, oh, we delivered it. Where to? Vail, Arizona. Why would you deliver to Vail, Arizona? I give you my home address. Fraud, amen. PayPal went back and investigated and said, oh, yeah, you're right, it's fraud. How do people like that even get in the agency in the mix to be able to do it in the first place? I'm just saying, who's going to regulate the internet usage from filth and fraud, pornography, and things that children ought not be a part of, but with a click of a button, they can get into it? Yes, there are filters. Yes, there's this. Yes, there's that. But guess what? Kids are smart. And they have friends that are smart. And they have friends that they their whole thing is to infiltrate and unravel how to break this thing. It's their life's work. Well, if I can get this, I mean, I remember that old movie, the boy, Game Wars? No, not Game Wars. What's that? Well, the boy hacked into NORAD. What was that name of that movie? War Games, yes. Y'all remember War Games? Oh, it's not a little game. And got into NORAD's computer and had launched the missiles. Kids are smart nowadays, and they live to figure it out. So who's going to be able to regulate the internet from filth and fraud? And is anyone even brave enough with our First Amendment rights and freedom of speech and press to even address the issue? Well, I've got a freedom of speech. You don't have freedom to put some pornography out there. Well, if they don't buy it, oh, where are we at? Capitalistic society, sometimes we want to worship places to live. Who can even address regulating the media with the ease of this filth and fraud so much? And then number 12, not just the media and internet principle, but the oil or alternative energy principle. Who will keep us hostage to the least oil prices, and who will investigate other avenues of energy and do something about it? Who can best handle following God's way? So folks, as we look at what our vote can do, these things are at the tail end. The things that matter most are in the beginning, the moral issues, because that's where we're going to go down. That's what Jesus said was going to mark the last days, a lack of morality, an increase in idolatry, an increase in fornication and adultery and lesbian, gay things, and everybody's going to be anesthetized because it's okay. It's been deemed as okay. The Pope said it's okay. America said it's okay. Everybody's going to follow suit. Anybody's going to step on the scene. And it's not going to be until Jesus Christ comes to get rid of all of that junk because we're anesthetized to it. Lastly, who can best handle following God's way with domestic and foreign affairs, identify with American core biblical values, and then best deal with crisis situations decisively, delicately, and directly? Go to Psalm 75:5 and we'll close. Psalm 75:5. What am I saying, folks? I'm so glad that God's in control. Amen. But I'm also glad that I have a vote. Amen. And I can say this is what I believe God wants. And what people do is going to be on them. But 75:5. Notice this. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He put it down one and set it up another. Or as it says in Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. God is the one that's in charge. And you know, oftentimes God gives his people what they want. Remember when Israel cried for quail and he gave them meat? And as soon as they started chewing it, it choked them to death. Remember they said, take it back to eat. We want onions and leeks and garlic. Remember all that stuff? Hey, guess what? They ended up going back to Egypt several years later. They forgot there was slavery there, and bondage there, and cruel taskmasters there. Sometimes God will give us what we ask for. There are some people asking for gay and lesbian rights so they can be equal with a husband and a wife and get the same protection. But you cannot get protected from God with that. The government might be able to protect you, but God, did the government and Solomon the Lord protect them? Did the government protect in the days of Noah? No. But when God wants to do something because people override and overrule him, God just overthrows. God said, no. I don't care who says it's right. It's not right. We as a nation have sown wickedness, and we are going to reap wickedness as a nation. But as you, as an individual, sow righteousness, you're going to reap righteousness. Praise God. I like that. And the Bible said he sows the flesh, so the flesh will be corruption. He sows the spirit. I mean, but life everlasting. When we pray, I started out this way and end with it. When we pray, we need to pray, God have mercy on us. Don't give us what we deserve. Don't give us what we deserve. Have mercy. We, as a nation, we deserve exactly what we have right now. You know, for the longest time, because of our biblical heritage and our founding fathers, back in the days, you and I have enjoyed a lot of freedoms.
Amen.
They're quickly and swiftly being taken away because of the work that our fathers and forefathers did spiritually, sowing righteousness, we reaped it. But now there's a crowd that did not do the same thing for their families and their generations, and we're about to reap that. There's a reason why the Antichrist is going to be able to take over without a fight. Because he's going to give people what they want. What do they want? Sin. The man of sin is what he's called. The man of lawlessness. You want it? Marijuana? Here it is. You want lesbian and gay lifestyle? Here it is. You want transgender? Here it is. You want abortion? Here it is. You want all this filth and foolishness on the internet? Here it is. Here it is. You know what? There it is. And then just like in Egypt, when they were chewing it, they died. But we don't want God to give us what we deserve. Amen. We need to ask God for mercy. Amen. And say, God, be merciful to this nation. Be merciful to this state. Be merciful to this city. We've got the first chief of police that is married to a man. In the country, we've got the first one in Tucson. The first. Kirsten Sinema, we've got a senator. Openly gay. Folks, where's it going to stop? It's not. Unless we stop voting for him.
Right.
I can't tell you who to vote for, but I can tell you this. God is not pleased with decisions that we make. It's contrary to what he wants to do. Let's get on board with God and say, well, they're not going to win anyway. Matters not. Hey, I put myself on the ballot one year knowing I wasn't going to win, but I refused to vote for somebody else that I know was against God. At least I'm for God. So I put myself down. You didn't know you could do that? You might not get elected. But you can get right in candidate. I put myself right down there. Gregory Allen Dawson. Why? Because the people that were standing weren't standing. So I said, I can vote for me. Amen. Hey, folks, let's look at what God wants us to do. Amen. Next week, we'll look at after the elections. What should we do? By the way, after the elections, God's still on the throne. Aren't you glad that Tuesday's going to come and Tuesday's going to go and God is still in the throne? Amen. Just as much he was in control beforehand. If people were running, pulling their hair out, stock market's going down and crying. Biden's in. Harris is in. Oh, Trump got rid. It's just starting. It's just starting. The Pope chimed in now. It's just starting. Folks, it is not going to get better. I hate to be a person of doomsday, but let's be realists. For the Antichrist to take over, it can't get better. It's got to get worse. For Israel to cry to God for Egyptian bondage to end, it had to get worse. Jacob to sin for Joseph, the famine had to get worse. Oftentimes it's got to get worse before God's people will cry to God. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to call on him. That is the greatest election that you want to win, is the election of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Being sure that you're born again. The elections are very, very small compared to your salvation. Your salvation is the greatest thing that matters to you right now, whether or not you're born again. Because the elections are going to come and they're going to go, but you may not even see it if you haven't voted for Christ and accepted Christ as your Savior. Be sure you're born again. Be sure you're a child of God. Be sure you're saved. Voting is a privilege, and every Christian ought to vote. Father, bless now these next moments. As we seen some things biblically, Lord, this is not a popular message, not popular thoughts. Lord, somebody's going to win this election. Our choices are not the greatest choices in the world. But someone's going to win. And someone's going to lose. Someone's going to be upset in this world. Lord, help us as Christians to know that we've done our part. We've done our best to vote biblically and to vote consciously according to the will of God. We know that this nation is not doing good morally. So Lord, help us to make the wise choice. The wisest choice that we can make based upon what the Bible says about the issues that are paramount. And Lord, there's someone under the sound of my voice that has never received Christ. Help them not to look so much at the elections, but making sure that they are the elect of God. They have called on Jesus Christ. They believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. And they have said, what must I do to be saved? And they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now in our invitation time. Help Christians to make decisions that they need to make. Help us not get involved in squabbles or skirmishes with people and word battles. Lord, just to trust that you're going to work in our nation the way you see fit. And help us to be on board with morality and stand for it in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed on looking around as Gregory plays the end of the invitation. Perhaps you need to pray. God will give you wisdom as you go to the polls on Tuesday. Maybe you're waiting to see what's going to happen. Maybe you've already voted on the early ballot system. Waiting to see what's going to happen with your choice. But folks, whatever happens with the choices that have been made, the truth of the matter is God is in control. He puts up, he sets down. And here today without Jesus Christ, God loves you, God wants to save you. Perhaps you need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, how do I do that? Understand you're a sinner, all the sin that comes short of the glory of God. Understand the wages is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just admit that you can't save yourself. And ask Jesus Christ by his death, burial, and resurrection to forgive your sin and save your soul. In a humble prayer, say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God will save you. And you can be sure that heaven will be your home. But don't believe without being accepted. Pastor White will be at the back entrance. I'll be outside the front. Over here on the side. Maybe you get that question answered today. How can I be saved? Christians, let's not fret. Let's not be frightened. Let's know that we will continue going on. With or without. President of our choice. Senator of our choice. The congressman of our choice. The representative of our choice. The elected official of our choice. We're going to go on, but Christian life doesn't stop. Nor do our requirements stop. They continue. Our Father, thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Much has gone on in this world in the past few weeks. Morally, legally, economically, securely, financially, much has gone on, Lord. Many are up in arms, but the child of God should not be. We just make the best choice possible according to the will of God. And then, Lord, we just live by the word of God day after day and live for Jesus. Lord, we know that as we make our choice, the best way we know how to work God and live for Jesus, the candidates will come, the candidates will go. They will not affect our salvation, nor will they affect our home in heaven. Oh, it may be a little tough for us here or there, maybe. We have to put up with this or that. Lord, in the end, you're still in control on the throne, and this is the worst we'll ever see. Heaven awaits the child of God. Thank you that our conversation is in heaven. Our home is in heaven. Our Savior is waiting for us in heaven. And Lord, help us to live here on earth as if we were already in heaven. Extending love to those that are of the LGBT crowd, extending love to those that are morally unsound, extending love to anyone that is doing things that are contrary to the word of God, because, Lord, you still love them. You don't hate them. You love them, but you hate what they do. Help us, too, Lord, to love the sinner, hate the sin, and be what you've called us to be. Help us to be that shining light in a dark world. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessings, Lord. Next time we assemble together, we'll know who is the next president of the United States for the next 4 years. Lord, may that not affect how we serve you and how we do the word and the will of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now dismiss us with your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen, folks. We're going to leave. Don't forget, Rihanna's birthday is today. Say a birthday to her. Ms. Hall tomorrow. Teresa on Thursday. And looking forward to that. Amen. Pastor White's going to dismiss us with a blessing. Amen. And we love each and every one of you. Lift up Bev tomorrow. She does her whirlwind tour. going back to California. Thank you again for praying for Kathy Camper. I appreciate that. He appreciates that. And continue to lift him up. We love you. And praise God. Looking forward to the time we can get back to hugging, embracing, and all the things that we like to do. But until then, amen, know that you're loved and you're cared for. And we look forward to seeing you on the next time together. Amen. All right, you are in Pastor White's hands.
Amen. Thank you again, Pastor, for a wonderful message this morning. And your hearts to be encouraged. And pray for Election Day on Tuesday, that God's will be done. We thank you for all the insight you've gotten already. Thank you for those that are listening online. We pray that the message has been a blessing to you. Team, remember today at 4 o'clock, we're going to try to get together. We're going to try it out, see how it works, and have a time together with our young people. And if you haven't already given your offering, there's a tray in the back there against the wall, the one up here front. Those that are on my right, as you depart out this way, that's fine, and my left, out in the back there. But let's pray that God's blessings as we depart. Ms. Bev, do what grandmother does to enjoy her grandkids, and we pray for her safety as well as she travels. Amen? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for your blessings. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning to be in your house. Thank you for the truths that we can be instructed from the word of God, Lord, to realize this morning, no matter what happens, it's all because you allow those things to happen. You have a plan. You have a purpose. And Lord, I pray that your will be done on Tuesday and even the days to follow as you continue to be in control of everything that goes on. We love you and praise you. Thank you for what you've done here this morning. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the visitor, this young man that came this morning as well. Pray for Ms. Beth as she travels tomorrow to take her granddaughter back to Alaska. Again, we love you and praise you. Thank you for all that you've done. Bless those that are listening and online that they might sense your presence as well. Again, as we depart, bring us back at the appointed time. And we'll be careful this morning to praise you and thank you for all that you've done and for what you're going to do. We ask these things now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Amen.